I guess all of us, the Seder, are really not certain what exactly the focus of our message should be. As our children come from school and they say Divrei Torah, what does that have to do with the Mitzvah Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim? We think that there's, what are we supposed to be accomplishing in the Higada to Labincha? Child comes in and tells you Dvar Torah or Pesach, that doesn't necessarily mean it's part of what I'm supposed to be doing, is leading the Seder, fulfilling our obligation. What is the main theme that we should be actually giving over to our children? And it's really not simple, and I think today we'll discuss something that we probably have not focused on ever. There's some general questions that I'm sure we're all troubled with. Pesach is called Zeman Cheruseinu, the time of our freedom. And yet the props for Pesach, the matzah, is called Lechemoni, the bread of our affliction. It's hard to understand how the prop of Pesach, by which the whole story is supposed to be said, according to the tour, you put on the table, while you're telling over the story, you have to have the matzah. So it means the prop is the bread of affliction, and really you're talking about the holiday of freedom. In fact, the Torah calls it Chag HaMatzah. It's a little problematic. Interesting enough, the Medrash tells us when the Jewish people stood at Mount Sinai, Hashem said, Anochi Hashem Elokech, I am the Lord your God. So the Medrash says, really it should be Ani, I. Why Anochi? Because that's an Egyptian word. So God, in his first communication to us publicly, to all the Jews at one time, starts speaking Egyptian. Mamaloshim. And the problem, obviously, is we went out of Egypt. One of the merits we went out of Egypt is because we kept our language. And all of a sudden we discover when God introduces himself, he uses an Egyptian word. Also, very difficult to understand. I'd like to bring one more very interesting thing. The Rambam tells us that the obligation of reciting the miracles, he says like this, to talk about the miracles and the wondrous things that were done to our forefathers in Egypt. The wonderful miracle, the wondrous things and miracles that were done to our forefathers in Egypt. Now if we take a look, it's not the only time Hashem did miracles for us. Let's say in the laws of Hanukkah, the Rambam tells us what we're celebrating on Hanukkah. He says like this, that HaKadosh Baruch had great compassion on us, and he helped us, saved us. And then he says like this, in the same law, the sons of Hashmona, the Hasmoneans, became powerful, and they killed and saved the Jewish people. And he says, and when the Jewish people got stronger, and they also joined in the fracas, and they destroyed the Greeks. So it's like very interesting. Here we're talking about passive. And over there, the Rambam says exactly the opposite. He says, the miracle is that we were the Hasmoneans were empowered, and not only were they empowered, the Jewish people were empowered. That Rashi brings in Chumash that Eliezer himself killed Greek centurions over 20,000. So you're talking about a rather huge empowerment of the Jewish people. And yet, by the exodus of Egypt, there's no sense of empowerment. We are passive. Hashem is taking us out. Very interesting formulation of the miracle. The miracle in Egypt was that Hashem did miracles and we were passive. And in Hanukkah, it's not that we were passive, but Hashem obviously orchestrated, but he empowered us to beat the Goyim, to beat our enemies. So it's very interesting what the difference here is. We could have certainly viewed Egypt the same way. He empowered Moshe Rabbeinu. He certainly did miracles, Moshe Rabbeinu. He empowered him to destroy the Egyptians. 10 plagues, he empowered him. And yet, over here, we don't consider an empowering of motion, empowerment of the people. We consider it, we were passive, and God did for us a miracle, while other miracles, God empowered us. What exactly is the difference? What's the different reason for this formulation of what the miracles were? You have a very fascinating Rashi and Chumash. It's really incredible. Listen to what Rashi says. It's in the Ten Commandments. The second set of Ten Commandments that appear in Parshas Haschana. So the Torah says like this. This is on the laws of Shabbos. The fourth commandment. V'zocharta, you should remember, ki eved ha-yisa be'eretz Mitzrayim, you were a slave in Egypt, v'yotziacha Hashem Elokecha misham, and the Almighty took us out from there, b'yod chazoka v'zroyin etuya, with a strong fist, a fist and an outstretched arm, therefore alkein tzifcha Hashem Elokecha lasus esyom ha-shabbos. And therefore we observe the Shabbos. So he says, well, you have to remember you were a slave, and Hashem took us out, Rashi. Remember you were a slave, and he took you out, on that condition he took you out, the what? That you should remember you're a slave is the condition of your being taken out. Shetiyelo evet, that you should be for Hashem a servant. Now Rashi does not say common. He doesn't make comments. He's telling you what the sentence is saying. So Rashi's saying the purpose of Yetzias Mitzrayim is not that we should be celebrating freedom. We should remember that we are Hashem's avodim. That's what Rashi, that's the way he translates the pasuk. So the first thing before we begin anything, you have to understand, where does he see that in the pasuk? The pasuk, the simple way everybody ever read the pasuk without Rashi, Hashem took us out, but we were slaves to Pharaoh, and God took us out. That we're now free. Listen to something we say in the Haggadah that we just don't really listen to what we're saying either. The Baal Haggadah actually brings this sentence right in the beginning. Avodim hayinu lefaro Mitzrayim. We were slaves to Pharaoh in Egypt. Vayotzienu Hashem Elokeinu. God took us out from there. B'yod chazok of Israel etuya. Now that is the sentence that I just read. The Baal Haggadah starts off the story. We were slaves in Egypt, and Hashem took us out. B'yod chazok of Israel etuya. That is the phrase that appears in the laws of Shabbos in the second commandments. The ilu lo hotzi HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If Hashem had not taken us out from there, means haray onu, we and our children and our grandchildren would still be in bondage to Pharaoh. What a profound statement. Hashem took us out, and had he not taken us out, we would still be there. What is that? It's not written for retards here. What does that mean? Those words don't mean anything. Hashem took us out, and he not taken us out, we'd still be there. Wow. If Hashem took us out, we'd still be there. That's a very self-evident truth. He took us out. You don't have to say, and if not, we'd still be there. What is it saying? In order to this, we just have to learn how to translate the words. Generally, it could be viewed that the exodus from Egypt is Hashem reached in and took us out of Egypt. Outstretched hand, he reached in, grabbed onto us, and pulled us out. If somebody is drowning, you reach out your hand, or someone is being taken away, you reach out your hand, if you can, you pull them away. What comes first, the outreached hand or the making a fist? The outreached hand, and then you tighten your fist. Listen to what the Torah doesn't say that. The Torah says, B'yod chazoka, you make a fist, and then you stretched out your hand. What does that mean? That's the Torah. Rashi is bothered in Chumash with that same question. Hashem took us out. It should be Hashem reached in, grabbed onto us, and pulled us out. Took us out from the clutches of Egypt. You know, in boxing, if you want to knock out the other person, you can't do it when you're in a clinch. When you go into a clinch, you're close, you can jab. But a knockout punch requires fist and trajectory. And yes, you need a roundhouse to knock somebody else out. In a clinch, all you can do, it's hurtful, but there's no knockout punch. You can't make a knockout punch from a clinch position. To knock out somebody, you have to make a fist, then have the distance multiplied by the force, and you knock somebody out. You could knock out somebody. But without that, it's impossible to knock out somebody. Torah saying over here, Hashem made a yod chazaka, he made a fist, and then he stretched out his hand, means he unleashed a knockout punch. He KO'd the Pyro. And the question is very obvious, about what does it mean that? What does he have to KO him for? What is his interest in knocking out Pharaoh? He wants to save the Jews. The obvious hint is like this. If you save the Jews, okay, the Jews are out of Egypt, but Pharaoh still has a legal claim to them. Hare onu bonenu mishubodim l'tharo. If he would have done it the other way, had Hashem reached in, pulled us out, today we would be out, but we would still be literally Pharaoh's slaves. We would still owe him work. What Hashem did was the other way. He knocked Pharaoh out, so therefore once Pharaoh's been defeated, then what belonged to Pharaoh now belongs to him. In other words, the fact that Hashem took us out by knocking out, Hashem didn't save us from Egypt. Hashem defeated Pharaoh and then took us. What's the difference between? And one of them is to defeats Pharaoh, to the victors belong the spoils. If the other way, he saved us. And that's what we're saying in the Haggadah. Hashem took us out, he defeated Pharaoh, and therefore we now belong to him. We're his. Because what was Pharaoh's is now his. The other way, had Hashem not do that, doesn't mean we'd have still been there. Edel lo hotzi doesn't mean, it means had Hashem not done it this way, but would have done it the other way, hare onu bonenu mishubodim, we would still be today slaves to Pharaoh. That's what we say every, we just don't listen to what we're saying. That means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu knocked out Pharaoh as opposed to saving us from Egypt. Which means at the end of the day, we are HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we belong to him. That's what Rashi's translating. He's just reading this pasuk. Rashi's not commenting on the pasuk. Vayotzi'enu Hashem v'zachar asasher v'zacharta ki yevel yisa b'mitzrayim. You should remember you were a slave in Egypt. Vayotzi'enu Hashem, he took us out. And Rashi says that means v'zacharta, that you were a slave in Egypt, and now we are Hashem's slaves. Hashem owns us. Yitzias Mitzrayim was Hashem taking us over from Pharaoh. Not Hashem was liberating us from Pharaoh, Hashem was taking us over from Pharaoh. Which means the main message of Yetzias Mitzrayim is that we belong to Hashem. That was exactly what we are obligated to remember. And therefore it's very interesting, very, very fascinating something else. Let's say, now we've just changed the whole theme of the Exodus. The Exodus is not liberation and now we are our own person and we're free of it. The whole idea was for us to internalize we belong to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We became his subjects. That's exactly what Yetzias Mitzrayim, and we know that from the fact that Hashem beat up the Egyptians, defeated them rather than rescued us. Yetzias Mitzrayim was not a rescue mission. It was a war against Pharaoh. He knocked Pharaoh out, and then he took us out because we now became his, as opposed that we are escaped slaves that still belong to Pharaoh. Let's see, start what that means on a number of different levels. If therefore, the symbolism, let's go like this. Let's say Hashem would have done another thing. We gave two options, right? He could have pulled it. What about another? How about had Hashem empowered us and we would have beaten up Pharaoh? Could have been. He empowered the Chashmonoim. There was a few people. He could have empowered a million Jews. Could have been we would have gone out of Egypt, right? Let's say he would have empowered us to leave. What would be our relationship with Hashem now? We would owe him gratitude. See, most of us think Yetzias Mitzrayim is a story to remember how much we owe him. That's wrong. That's, we're changing that. It's not just to remember what we owe him, the gratitude. Had he empowered us, and certainly we know in history he's done that. He empowered. I mean, the empowerment that was against the, that was the Greek centurions with the Rangers, today's Rangers, you know, U.S. Rangers. It's a whole different level of soldier, and they were the top soldiers, and they were trained soldiers, and a few Kohanim. You know, that were hopefully probably mostly they doing a vote in the Beis Hamikdash, were able to defeat tens of thousands of them. So Hashem could have easily made that type of miracle that we could have done in Egypt also. At least there we were muscle bound, you know. The Kohanim probably weren't muscle bound. We were doing hard work for years. He had certainly the material for a Spartacus revolution without any problem. There could have been a real slave. We would have been out, but then we would not have belonged to him. Therefore, the Rambam is very careful that we have to understand the miracles, we were passive. There was no activity. Even though other times in Jewish history, Hashem empowered us to defeat people, he didn't empower us to defeat people, because empowering us to defeat people would not serve the purpose of what his goal was. His goal was not just to take us out. His goal was that we should become his subjects. That is his goal. And in order to do that, he can't empower us, because then we're not his subjects. Then we went out. We owe him gratitude for empowering us. But he didn't do that. We don't owe him gratitude for empowering us. We owe him gratitude for the whole thing. But more than gratitude, we actually belong to him. That's the message of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Therefore, the symbol, Hashem opens up the conversation. Anochi. Remember, guys. Remember Egypt? You're mine. He starts off with an Egyptian word that they shouldn't get out of the mode of Egypt. They have to take the mode of Egypt forward. The other way they wouldn't have taken the mode of Egypt forward, they'd have gone through the therapy of undoing the ignominious experience of hundreds of years of slavery. Right? In other words, had Hashem empowered us, that would have itself undone retroactively all the trauma of being a slave, and now we're free. It's not that way at all. He wants us to remember he took us out of Egypt. We were slaves to Pharaoh in Egypt. We now belong to him. And that's the first thing when he meets us, on the sentence where he says, Onoichi, the rest of that sentence, Hashem Elokecha, Asher Yitzei Sichu Me'aretz Mitzrayim. Remember Egypt? He starts in Egypt. I am what you were, you are to me now what you were in Egypt to Pharaoh. That is the opening statement of the Ten Commandments. And therefore we understand it's Chag HaMatzos. We have to continually internalize that we're slaves. That is very important for us to remember. And we have to remember that today we're his subjects. We became his. That's what the Torah is telling us. What exactly is some of the, doesn't sound much like liberation to me, and we'd still call it Zman Cherusena. How do we understand Zman Cherusena then? How do we understand Zman freedom? You know, the reason we nobody ever understood this, because we know what freedom is. I don't have a master. And over here we're discovering that the whole idea here is to give over the message, you have a master. A very fascinating experience I actually had a few years ago talking to somebody about 6 hours in a night. It was in a PA partnership of surgeons, and they wanted me to meet the other surgeons. Two of them were religious, wanted to meet one of the partners. I spoke to him about 6 hours a night. So about 10 o'clock, it was like 4 o'clock. I was talking to him, not trying to make him Jewish, just hearing all about him. Finally, I asked him maybe at 3:30, why aren't you married? Guy's almost 50 then. Why aren't you married? He says, well, you know, I went to school, took a surgery, residency, then I took a cardiac surgery after that, and I was fairly old already. You know, I'm a Kohen. I have nobody I could marry. You know, I guess he would have liked to marry an 18-year-old girl, but I don't know that she wants to marry him. So, you know, he's looking, and especially, he knows he can't marry a girl, and he's not religious, so he has to find a girl that's not religious, that hasn't lived with a non-Jew, or hasn't been married before. I said to myself, you can talk to him all. Shabbos he doesn't keep, Kashrus he doesn't keep, I don't think he keeps Yom Kippur. Sugar, and you know, I wasn't going to tell him, give this up too. But a couple of days later, but I did think about it. I left really bewildered until I finally realized a couple of days later what he was telling me. What he was telling me was, it's not about religion. I have a commission. That's about me. That's about my status, my dignity, who I am, my honor. That I'm not willing to give up. For God, I'm not that committed. I'm not going to do all that for God. What God did for me, I'm not about to throw that out. That's what he was telling me. In other words, he took, and by the way, since then I've met some other Kohanim, not quite that extreme, but it's not their observance of the laws of Kahuna are much greater than the laws of, they want to be able to duchen. So they'll do things that, they won't keep Shabbos, but you know they're not going to keep that Gerusha around, or at least not let anybody know she's a Gerusha. They just won't do that, because it's about them. There's a tremendous status. The message we have to give of our children, the real message, the subject being a subject of God, is an enormous empowerment. God carries out his agenda for the world through us. Everything he does is through us. We have the responsibility to be his representative. It's an ambassadorship. Yeah, we're his subjects, but it's an appointment. It's an appointment. It's a tremendous appointment that God chose us to be his ambassador. God chose us to be the his representative. The way we behave, you know, like an ambassador to a country, is not. He is speaking in the name of the United States, and therefore, if he says something that's not politically correct, it's an international incident. He's not a person. He is a representative of. He's a representative of the Almighty himself, of the country itself. That's what we have to feel as Jews. We have an appointment here. We were given a global mission to represent him. And that's a tremendous honor and a tremendous, besides responsibility, but it puts us in a huge position of importance. There should be a tremendous pride in being a Jew. Let me prove it to you. What were we in Egypt? From the beginning, Hashem says, the first time he appears to Moshe, what does he say? B'ni b'chori Yisrael. These are my children. And therefore, go tell Paro that if you don't let my firstborn out, you don't let my children out, these are my firstborn children, I'm going to knock off your firstborn. At the sneh he already gives at the beginning. That means HaKadosh Baruch Hu already perceived us as his children. What is Rashi talking about here? That when he takes us out, now we became his slaves? We're his children before we went out. And everything he does against Egypt is as a furtherance of his being upset the way his firstborn was dealt with. You know, as parents, we have tremendous responsibilities for our children, and if we want, make the child should be successful. As the Talmud says, a parent is never jealous of the success of the child exceeds his. But my goal as a parent is to develop the child to be his own person. To bring somebody into my business and should be part of my enterprise is not the responsibility of a parent. Parent, in fact, very often that's a very difficult relationship too. The child doesn't necessarily, and he feels he has his own space. It's very difficult. Bringing a child into a business is very, very difficult. And it really gets difficult when he takes over your seat. It's a very, very problematic thing to bring your children into your business. But certainly, if you have an enormous enterprise and your child is capable and he's able to make that transition, there's nothing greater. It's your child, and you're close to, and you're committed to him, and hopefully he's committed to you. That's the most successful way that the enterprise should work. because an employee is an inimical relationship. He's working for himself, and it's only about himself and feeding his family. Hopefully that because he needs to feed his family, he won't do anything harmful to you. But ultimately, he's involved in himself. You can bring a child into your business, so that's an enormous gain for the parent. It's also a tremendous gain for the child because he's not going to have to find his little business. His father's the king. His father's the king of the world over here, and therefore he's being actually been given an enormous empowerment. Our sages say, every day a Jew has to reaffirm his commitment to the sovereignty of the Almighty. You have to say Shema Yisrael every day, twice a day. Of course, if you're a Jew, you can sleep until 9 o'clock in the morning. You're still my son. So, you know, you have till 9 o'clock in the morning. But after you're my son, I'm asking you to commit to becoming part of the enterprise. That's a huge promotion because this is a serious enterprise. This is king of the world. Even if it be king of, if it be Achashverosh's son, it would be an enormous thing to take him into and make him part of Achashverosh, the king of the world, the king of the world enterprise. Yetzias Mitzrayim was the message we have to give our children. We were all his children. Hashem loves us. What he did in Egypt was because he loved us. He let us see how much the Egyptians were defeated and everything, as Rashi points out, because of what they did to us, and he's reacted to them. But the goal is now we should become part of his enterprise. He didn't free us. He didn't do anything that should give us a feeling. We have become freed. It's our now, we're own people. It's exactly the opposite. What he did is he transitioned us from being those who are used to discipline and taking orders and making sure I'm just focused on outside of myself what my master wants. That was a huge training and basic training that enabled us, that we were then capable of becoming part of the enterprise. The message we have to give our children tonight is that we have become part of a Kadosh Baruch Hu's enterprise, which is the greatest honor that can be bestowed on anybody. But that honor, by the way, has a lot of responsibility with the honor. But it's probably the greatest message we have to give our children of the tremendous pride of being Hashem's subject. And I'm saying that you see today, people, if you don't keep mitzvahs, but once if they really believe in the pride of being Hashem's, that you have pride that you're an ambassador, they're going to be a lot more careful doing the mitzvahs, and they're going to be a lot more careful about keeping up their Judaism. Our main problem is we're really giving our children over the rules and regulations and mitzvahs, but not the underlying fact of the appointment of becoming part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's enterprise. Zocharta ki evra yisaberetz Mitzrayim. Remember, you were part of Paro's enterprise, which was to keep you down just to serve Paro, and now you became part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's enterprise, but over there, that's for your sake. Yes, you're also a subject and you have work to do, but he's gave us a huge appointment. We're his representatives to the world. Of course, that means every time we talk and how we behave and how we talk to Goyim and how we talk to our employees and how we talk to our children and how we talk to our friends, we're God's ambassador. And it's really a scandal to do the wrong thing. I'm not talking about doing the Avera. The way it's the position that we occupy. That's what a Jew has to start feeling, the enormous position that we were given by Yetzias Mitzrayim. It was a position. It comes with tremendous responsibilities, but that position is not this. It's a job. It needs a tremendous commitment. To think that we were freed and now we're all like the other nations. Okay, you were slaves to Pharaoh. Pharaoh's ahead. He could have pulled us out, or he could have given us the power to make a slave revolution, which we have many instances of history of that. We're our own people. Hashem is elevating us. Romam tonu mikol lashonas. The whole thing is an elevation. It was to elevate us, becoming Hashem's subject and carrying out his mission to the world is an elevation. That's the message that everybody should be leaving the Seder with. it is that we have to go ahead. And it was a great appointment. Hashem did it. He liberated us from a Pharaoh and took us and appointed, gave us appointments in his enterprise, in his sovereignty. And that's a tremendous pride we have to have. That's the message we should, everybody should leave the Seder. Even the guests who don't know anything. Yeah, we all have guests at our Seder table that know nothing. But just, it's not a lesson in Jewish history. And certainly you don't want them to leave with a lesson of, okay, we're free. We're free. We're free like the blacks were free. That's the wrong message too. The message of the Seder is to give them the pride of being a Jew. In fact, Rashi says on the mitzvah of the Higadat Lebincha, listen to what Rashi says. This should go for everybody. Just know how to give the message over in a positive way. This you have to tell everybody. Whether they ask you questions or they don't ask you questions. Or the guests that are Enio de Elisho that are just there because they're friendly with you, or their parents went to a Seder, it's your aunt or your nephew. But they're not... They have no real connection, therefore they don't ask any questions. Every single person there we have to give a message to. To the wise person we have to give a message if he doesn't ask the question. We have to give it to the person who's not wise. We have to give the message. And the message we have to give is, Vavurza osa shemli b'tzeisi mitzrayim, so that I can fulfill his mitzvahs. Now you can give that mitzvah, do a mitzvah, or the way to give people that aren't religious, make yourself a little bit more Jewish this year. But give them the message, it's a privilege to be a Jew. Everybody at the Seder has to walk away with a feeling it's a privilege to be a Jew and do something that's indicative of feeling the advantages of privilege or the benefits of privilege. If a person doesn't do that, they wasted the Seder night. And by the way, it must be, that's the reason the last thing on the Jewish calendar that anybody leaves is the Seder. Because this isn't the instinct. This is not a night of a history lesson. It's a night of really understanding the pride of the Jewish people. Our pride and privilege is that he chose us, elevated us to carry out his mission. Everybody can do something to become more Jewish. They're not religious. Well, what about getting involved in Jews in Cuba or Soviet Union? There's so many things that a person starts feeling the pride of being a Jew will feel that even though he's not yet ready for the mitzvahs, but once he brought, it's a privilege to be able to build and do for the Jewish people. Everybody has to have that. Our children, we can translate that and add a new understanding and dimension to mitzvahs. We're his representative, and therefore every mitzvah not done properly is a desecration of his name. Behavior that's improper, besides being a sin, means it's an international incident because it's an ambassador doing something inappropriate. That we can do to our children, but even people that are not yet, just give them the feeling. The whole story is to tell us that we got the privilege, we were upgraded, we became part of his enterprise. That's the message we have to give over. And Rashi's telling us that's what the Pasuk is saying. Hashem didn't take us out of Egypt, didn't pull us out, didn't rescue us, and the Bahagul, because then we would still be Pharaoh's slaves. He doesn't have a grasp on us. We'd still be slaves. The Rambam tells us he didn't empower us to beat up, because then we'd be our own nation. He actually took us to him, he upgraded us and gave us a feeling of the greatness of and the privilege of being able to be part of his eternal sovereignty. That is a huge positive message, a healthy message, and therefore we have remembers the subject, because we were trained, we have basic training, 400 years of basic training in discipline, communal. Be focused outside of ourselves, be focused on what the master wants. That was all of the whole slavery process, was to bring us to the point that we'd be able to carry out and work for him with the highest level of efficiency and commitment to do that. That's the message we should be giving our children. And all year round, never to lose sight of the message of the great privilege it is to be a Jew. It's a commission. It's a commission. And God forbid, nobody really ever wants to resign from a commission. Forgive this message. We'll move further. And then we'll be a lot more secure how your children are going to be when you're not here. Children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren. If you give over a legacy of commission, they don't want to give that up. Nobody wants to give that up. You give over a legacy of more mitzvahs and more responsibilities without any perspective of what that really means, it's likely to be, each year it's going to get less and less until 3-4 generations almost disappear. So if we want what we believe in to continue, the message we have to give is the great privilege it is to be a Jew and the great appointment that we had and the global responsibility that Judaism entails. And just to quote, conclude with the words of the Ramchal, we have two responsibilities. One, as a Jew, is to perfect myself. The second, he says, is tikkun achvas hamadinas. We have a responsibility for international brotherhood. Each person, you'll be able to give him a feeling of where he should focus, but we have the responsibility to fix up the world. We have a responsibility to be an example to the rest of the world, because if we're not an example to the rest of the world, we're not going to empower them. We're not going to impact on them. So we have a huge we are his representative here. That's a huge appointment, a huge promotion, a huge honor. We view taking us out of Egypt was an honor. Bachar banu mikol amim, roma monu mikol asher. It's an elevation of who we are. That's the message that our children should get by the Seder, and that's the message that our guests should get with the Seder. Done intelligently, you'll be able to sort of, because they also need a bottom line. There's something you have to do. So you'll figure out that somebody who's not quite yet if a mitzvah, there's something that they can do, a Jewish hospital, there's something they can do, raise money for Israel, the poor in Israel, the hungry. There's a lot that can be done as long as you understand what the goal is, what the message you have to go. We have to start off giving a feeling of the great empowerment to be a Jew and the responsibility, not only for our own personal development, but to fix up the world. We should look at Yom Tov.